Let's sign her up. One, two. She'd be a keeper, wouldn't she? Amen. Good evening. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this very night. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, the epistles, the letters. 1 John chapter 5. I want to thank our Lord and our generous pastor, encourager of men, for an opportunity to preach God's word. It's wonderful the pastor shares his pulpit that he's been entrusted. Not a lot of men are able to do that, but our pastor is, and so we're grateful. And it's been wonderful to see Matt preach in the Sunday evenings, and I understood he hit it out of the park last Sunday morning, and we get better at doing stuff by doing stuff. Isn't that right, Dick Edmond? We get better at tying our shoes by tying our shoes. We get better at preaching by preaching. I heard a message, good message today, too. 1 John chapter 5, we want to take a look at two verses particularly. There's a lot here in this passage. We won't cover all of that tonight. But I want to speak on this subject, how to get your prayers answered. How to get your prayers answered. 1 John chapter 5. We want to take a look at two verses, 14 and 15. By the way, I've got a heading in my Bible, and it says, Confidence and Compassion in Prayer. Does anybody else have a heading in their Bible? What does your Bible say? Speak out. Anybody else? Okay. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. If you have your place, will you stand with me now for the reading of God's word? Those who are able, we'll just stand and we'll read from God's word. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, listen, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. And may God bless unto us the reading of His word. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we're thankful for yet another day of life. We take nothing for granted. And we're equally thankful, Lord, for a chance to come and worship You in the beauty of holiness. We would pray just for the next few minutes, Lord, we may stay focused on what You have for us. And that the things that are tugging at us in this old world outside the walls of this church can stay out there just a few minutes as we cast our affections on things above. We trust You, Lord, and we're grateful that we're able to do that. We ask that You visit us in a special way this very night. Prepare our hearts for what You have for us. Use me, won't You, Lord, for the welfare of those who are listening and for Your glory. Looking unto Jesus, the one who remains the author and finisher of our faith, and in whose name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In the culture and the times we're living in right now, you and I want to have some assurance from God's word that we can have our prayers answered. Now, this is not a thorough or an exhaustive study on prayer tonight. But there are a few things here our Lord wants us to grasp so that we may have the calm, blessed assurance of answered prayer in some of the most difficult and tumultuous times in our life. It's good to know that we can have that comfort, that we can speak to Him, and that He will speak to us. and that he will hear our prayer to the glory of God the Father. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, John tells us how to get our prayers answered. In these closing verses of this book of the Bible, an epistle, a letter — epistle is a fancy word for letter — we see that John pulls together some of the themes that he had already discussed, particularly as it relates to confidence or boldness. For example, 1 John 2 and 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, and," pardon me, "that when he shall appear, we may have confidence," or boldness, interchangeable there, "and not be ashamed before him at his coming." One of the other thoughts that John ties up for us comes at 1 John 3 and 21. "Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence," or boldness, "toward God." And then in 1 John 4 and 17, he says, "Herein our love made perfect, that we may have boldness," or confidence, if you will, "in the day of judgment." So John goes back and captures that theme and brings it to the closing verses of this book. Boldness is one of the characteristics that God wants us to have as Christians. And we can be bold in the Lord if we know where our confidence is. Our confidence needs to be in our Lord. While John's gospel is primarily an evangelistic piece written to the unbelievers — now that's substantiated for us in John 20 and 31, where the Word of God says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus," listen, "is the Christ and the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." The gospel of John is an evangelistic piece written to those unbelievers of the time. But the epistle of John, the letter of John, is written to the believers. And there's a message there for them, and there's a message there for us. And my friends, primarily, we need to understand as believers, one of the areas, one of the arenas that the Lord wants us to live our life in and have boldness and confidence in him is of prayer. You see, beloved, when we read the Bible, God talks to us. But when we pray, we talk to God. And now one must learn how to pray and to study the Word of God to find out what God says about this matter of prayer. God does things in his economy in answer to the prayers of his children. I believe that God's people move forward on their knees. And you see, a lot of success in ministry, particularly in the local church, is behind the scenes when God's people petition the heavens in prayer. Now, if you're going to get your prayers answered, there are several things that our Lord wants us to understand. And so if you and I want our prayers answered, we need to understand several things. Number one, we see it in verse 14, the direction of prayer. You haven't closed your Bible yet, have you? Now, this is the confidence, the boldness that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Imagine that if we ask anything in his will, he will hear that. Now think about that. The God who created the stars and put them in the heavens and put them in their places, the God who formed the planets, and the God who hurled them into space, this great God, the Creator, has encouraged you and me as just creatures of dust to come into his presence in prayer. So you and I have access in prayer to God. And beloved, do you see how it works? Access adds to the confidence that we have in him, addressed in verse 14. In fact, Jesus urges us to pray. Do you remember what Jesus said, recorded for us in Matthew 6:6? When you pray, enter into your closet, close the door, and pray to your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you, the Word of God says, openly. So our Lord invites us to pray. He urges us to pray. Our Lord longs for us to pray, and he appeals that we pray. And friends, understand that that means when we pray, we are talking to our Heavenly Father. And the Word of God says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm wondering how many of us are here today who have caught ourselves and found ourselves in a time of need, wanting a measure of our Lord's grace and looking for a measure of our Lord's mercy. The Word of God tells us we can have both because we have access to the Father in prayer. And so when I think about the direction of prayer, I think about access. But I also think about the matter of prayer in regard to asking. Now, I realize that sometimes, just like we teach in Sunday school or vacation Bible school, sometimes prayer is praise. And I realize that sometimes prayer is thanks. And I realize that sometimes prayer is adoration. But fundamentally, basically, foundationally, prayer is asking. And if God would answer one of your prayers here this very night, would you know it? I mean, would you be aware of an answered prayer? Are you asking God for anything today? Now, maybe you're asking God for a responsive partner. Maybe you're asking God for the blessings of life. Maybe you're asking God for a wayward child. Maybe you're asking God for something that's been haunting you forever and you can't get the monkey off your back. I mean, would you be aware of it? Are you asking God for anything today? You see, we don't get a lot of things because we don't ask God. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Does that sound familiar? There may be many answers, friends, up in the heavens that will never be ours because we've never asked God. Yet the Word of God says we have access to Him, and when we have access to Him, we can ask Him. He wants to answer our prayers. You know, our faith journey, and I'm glad it's called a journey, aren't you? I'm not what I was years ago, and I'm certainly more than I would have ever thought I was in Christ than I've ever been in my life in that regard. Closer to Him is what I mean when I say more. But I remember a time in my ministry where I didn't have a lot of faith about asking before the Lord and Him responding affirmatively. And then the Lord taught me that He's a big God. And that's been over 25 years ago that He taught me that lesson. And I serve a big God. And I ask Him big things. And when He lets me dream, I dream big in Him. I'm reminded, and I'll illustrate that point this way. When Napoleon and his army was getting ready to have battle, one of his soldiers came to him and just made an unbelievable request. The timing of the request right prior to a battle. And the kind of request, unbelievable. It was a financial request that was absurd and ridiculous because it was such a great request. Napoleon had mercy and said that he had been honored by the soldier's request because the soldier had such a magnitude of his request. The magnitude of the soldier's request was something Napoleon would take as flattering to him. My friends, there's nothing too big we can't ask of our Lord. There's nothing too great that our great God doesn't want to hear from our very lips. And you and I have a concept, if we ever do, of a big God, I mean a God who would do big things, then we can ask God in prayer. So if you want to know how to have your prayers answered, realize, number one, the direction of prayer. It's first access, and then it's asking. But in the second place, verse 14 captures the condition of prayer as well. The Word of God says in verse 14, Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now let me just say parenthetically for a moment, may I? That the psalmist in Psalm 66 and 18 reminds me and reminds you that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. So let me ask you, is there some iniquity in your heart that you're regarding this very night? Is there some unfinished business that you have with God that you've been dragging your heels? Rationalizing it away, recognizing the Lord who is of God, a God of mercy and grace. Well, he's not that interested in that. Listen, he's interested in every sin. The very hairs on our head are numbered. Hey, he's merciful in all things, and I'm grateful for one. But if we regard sin, if we keep it, you know, I heard it put this way, is there a place in your home that if the Lord Jesus was there, that you'd close the door and not invite him in? And, yeah, sit over here, Lord. You don't want him to see it? Is there something in the fridge you don't want him to see? I mean, are you regarding iniquity? Have you been chewing on that root of bitterness? Been holding on to a hurt? Or an injustice? And look, when our hands are like this, we cannot have them like that. And if they're like this, we can't catch the blessing of the Lord because we're holding on to something. Hey, you're regarding iniquity. Lord says, don't do it. Because if we regard iniquity, he will not hear from us. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? I went to bed last night pretty sure that I was going to preach a different message. I'm either not at all led of the Lord or very led of the Lord. So, this morning rolls around and I get to the hospital and try to ready myself for a chapel service that comes. And the pager kind of rules the roost at the hospital, you know. And the pager tripped and I made it to the intensive care unit and couldn't dig my way out. Now, since our Lord orders our steps, I was right where he wanted me anyhow. No big deal. But when I came back and had a few moments to myself, I thought, this isn't the right message. And the Lord had me come back to this message. Something I've preached once before, maybe 10 times before. There's an expression in preaching, if it's worth hearing one time, it's worth hearing 100 times. Tommy, your daddy's made that statement, hasn't he? Why, sure he has. Oh, well, my point is this. If we regard iniquity, the Scripture has a condition in this matter of prayer. And it's right there in our text in verse 14 that we have to do the prayer according to his will. And we are out of his will when we're regarding iniquity. The reason I knew that the Lord wanted me ultimately to preach this message. Pastor called me this afternoon and said, preach two of them, but you're only going to get one honorarium. That was Pastor. But the reason I knew he wanted me to preach this one is because it preaches first to me. Well, okay. I had to sit there and do an inventory. You want to know how to get your prayers answered? You want to really know? Just go ahead and do an inventory. Do a little house cleaning. And don't rely on calling the smart shred folk to come to the house and throw it away where nobody will ever see it. He's already seen it. You just give it to him, put it at the foot of the cross, and don't let that bitterness make you bitter. That injustice, let it make you better instead. As we study scriptures, we find that there are certain conditions to prayer, and when we meet those conditions, our prayers are answered. Like it says in verse 14, according to his will. But Matthew 21 and 22 says this. Here's another condition. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing that you shall receive. So believing is one of the conditions of prayer. Listen, don't get trapped by the tempter who sets the snare of false humility. Oh, I'll ask the Lord, but now listen, there's no but with him. He wants to know everything on your heart. Every little bit. And one of the conditions of prayer to be answered is believing. And then John 14, 13 and 14 says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, verse 14 says, I will do it, one translation says. So, whenever we pray in the name of Jesus. Not his title, in Christ's name. No, that's his title. We pray in Jesus' name. By the way, when we pray in Jesus' name, it's something a little bit more than a tagline that we put on the back of a prayer. When we pray in Jesus' name, what it means is, we'll answer these questions. Will my prayer be consistent with the name of Jesus? When we pray in Jesus' name, ask this question. Will praying in Jesus' name bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus? When we pray in Jesus' name, ask this question. Will my prayer magnify the name of Jesus? John 15 and 7 in the Gospel says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So get these conditions of prayer. Our text says, according to his will. Matthew reminds us that we've got to pray believing he's going to do it. John reminds us that we've got to pray in the Gospel of John in Jesus' name. And then he goes ahead in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John and reminds us that we have to abide in Jesus. In other words, to be in fellowship with Jesus. And then 1 John 5 and 14 in our text says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, yes, according to his will. Now here's the fly in the ointment for us. You and I will plan. You and I will pray over. You and I will figure things out, and then ask the Lord to bless it. Backwards. And we do it a lot. I'm in the club. I do it a lot. He orders our steps. Lord, instead of, Lord, bless this. Lord, I'm thinking about this. Lord, I'm doing this. Lord, this opportunity's been presented to me. Please show me what you want me to do. See the difference? Well, prayer's not getting my will done. Listen, in heaven, prayer's getting God's will done right here on earth. I can illustrate that by the illustration of a woman whose son was desperately ill, a young boy. And she called for the pastor of her church to come, and he did come to the hospital and pray. And the pastor said, "I will pray that your son gets well, but I'll pray that God's will be done." And the woman said, "I don't care a thing about God's will. I just want my boy to get well." And her son got well, only later to die in an electric chair for some of his crime. Now listen, our Lord sees the big picture. Our Lord knows what matters most. And we can come to Him with full access, asking. And when we meet the conditions that He lays out for us in His Word, He's going to answer our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. We abide in Jesus. We pray believing. But we also discern the will of God. Colossians 1 and 9 captures it this way for us. It says, we can be filled with the knowledge of His will. And of course, then you must do the will of God. You see, friends, you cannot expect to get your prayers answered if you're not willing to do the will of God, whatever the will of God is. And if God, right here in this service, should reveal His will for you, would you do it? Or do you kind of approach our Lord and the things of our Lord like a cafeteria? We kind of just pick and choose what we want God to do for us and what we'll accept from Him. Pardon me. Well, we can't pick and choose, beloved. We can have all that God wants for us, to be certain. Because of the direction of prayer, we have direct access. Because we can ask Him, and He'll do it. And we have the condition of prayer, believing in Jesus' name, abiding and discerning. And then when we discern the will of God, do the will of God. But in the third place, and I'm finished when I tell you this one, verse 15, we have the fruition of prayer. Now let's look what 15 says. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now, petitions is a fancy word. It just means request. If we boil it all down, it's request. Now, sometimes prayer is direct. I mean, you ask the Lord for X, Y, Z, you're in His will, He gives you the discernment of His will, you're doing His will, and the prayer's direct. But sometimes prayers are delayed. And sometimes God delays prayer because we're not ready for prayer. We're not ready for what we're asking. Know what I mean? I'll illustrate that by this. The 10-year-old boy who's asking the Lord for a red Corvette with the keys and a full tank of gasoline. Well, he's not ready. Sometimes prayers are to be answered, pardon me, but they're answered different. Direct, delayed, different. Now what I mean by that is this. We ask for one thing and we get something completely opposite for what we ask. Boy, I can remember asking the Lord about a woman I was in love with at the time and wondered the Lord to bless the marriage and the union that never happened. Because the one He picked for me was the better one. See what I'm saying? We ask for one thing and get something completely different. That's what I mean by that. And I got the best because it was God's choice for me. I am so glad I didn't marry the ones that I picked. Can anybody else make that statement tonight? I'm glad the one that I married the one the Lord picked for me. By the way, every time God gives us something different than what we have or have asked Him for, it's always better. Isn't that right? Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Isn't that how James reminds us? So sometimes prayer is delayed, sometimes it's different, but sometimes it's denial. I'm just wondering about the Apostle Paul and the thorn in his flesh. Why his prayer to have that thorn removed was denied? Was it because he had to learn the lesson that the Lord's grace is sufficient for all things, and in our weakness he is made strong? Well, where are you tonight in your prayer life? Have you done an inventory lately? As our musicians make their way, let me just ask you, in a moment we're going to provide an invitation. We're going to invite you first to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you want salvation, you can have salvation. By walking the aisle of a Baptist church? No. By putting your faith and trust in Jesus for the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of your sin, and for the promise of everlasting life. Still, you may be here today, but the Lord has rifle shot you. Not a buckshot with the shotgun to get everybody in the pew but you. But He has spotted you right now, tonight. And you've been holding on to something and regarding iniquity in your heart. And He wants you to give it to Him and leave it at the foot of the cross tonight. So is there someone who needs to repent of that? A believer who needs to repent of that? Still, there may be someone here tonight that wants to join this sweet fellowship. Wonderful church. Pastor's here. He will receive you. This will be a great place to serve our Lord. It's a good time of the year coming up. Vacation Bible School. Is this where God wants you? Why not come? But remember now, in the days to come, we've got access to Him. And we can ask. We can go directly to Him. And we can have confidence in Him when we do just that. And when we meet the conditions of prayer aligned in the Scripture for us tonight, God's going to answer our prayers. Pray big, y'all. We serve a big God. Let's pray. We're thankful for just another day of life, Lord, a chance to worship You. We're thankful for Your word that convicts us of the error of our way. We pray, Lord, at this very moment that anybody and everybody who needs to get right with You will do so this very night to the glory of God the Father. Have Your way with God's people, won't You, Lord?